This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
We open the show with some Austin Jackson audio. We'll keep taking calls and ticket texts on that all morning long, calling out Tiger fans who are waiting to see this team fail. The I told you so earnests of the world says this team is real, which sure feels that way. The Lions have been real last couple seasons, real contenders chasing a Super Bowl, but they haven't got it done. So what we have for you guys today is a little game. Deal or no deal, Lions edition. John, I have in front of me the next 10 Super Bowl winners.
Oh, okay.
As predicted by AI. So do with it what you will. I'm not turning this into an AI debate. But it does give us a scenario, and it predicts how many Super Bowls the Lions will have in the next 10 seasons.
Oh, okay. A decade's worth of football.
A decade's worth of football. And it feels like this team's primed to go on a series of deep postseason runs beyond what they've already done. In 2025, they have the Detroit Lions winning the Super Bowl.
All right. One.
In 2026, they have the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
Meh.
Followed by the Chiefs, Bills, Commanders, then the Bears, Cowboys, Browns, Steelers, and Chiefs yet again.
What?
Only one.
Only one?
One Super Bowl.
And in 31, the Cowboys actually win a playoff game?
And then the Browns win a Super Bowl too?
Browns, yes. Yeah. Well, Browns go to the Super Bowl quite often. We're not talking about football.
The question is, do you take the deal? You only get, I can't even believe we're saying this, you only get one Super Bowl, Lions fans. You're taking the deal knowing you only win one. That's all that comes of this roster with all these great young players. Deal or no deal? And I look to you first, John, because you are Mr. Let It Play Out. Would you roll the dice thinking I could win two or three during this decade?
I know the argument for one. And there's a lot of teams that get their first Super Bowl. Right? The Bills in 28. And the Browns in 32. Everybody else there has been to Super Bowls, won Super Bowls. The Lions, with this being this year, I'm not going to fall into the instant gratification crowd. Got to have it now. Yes, I want a Super Bowl this year. Do I think they can win a Super Bowl this year? Certainly. But no deal. I'm not taking it. I'm not taking the guaranteed one Super Bowl. And I know everybody's going to say, well, why are you talking about two or three or four before you even get one? And you're sitting there nodding your head, smacking the table. No, I am not going to. This is also looking at the guy who says, well, in the next 10 games, I think if they can go 5-5, I'll take that. No, I want more. I want the opportunity. I want the opportunity for more. Do I think they're going to win one in the next 5 years? Yes. Do I think they can win two in the next 10 years? Yes. I want more bites at the apple. Do I think Brad Holmes will continue to draft well? Yes. So I think that he will be able to. The biggest question is, because you look at the Chiefs in 2034, do I think Patrick Mahomes is still going to be the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs in 2034? He's 29 years old right now.
Could be.
That's 9 years down the road. He's 38.
It's a send-off.
Certainly. I don't even think. We've seen Aaron Rodgers. We've seen Tom Brady. We've seen other quarterbacks play well into their 40s, which I think Patrick Mahomes will have the opportunity to do at a high level. The problem is, I don't think Goff is in that same category. He certainly is not in the same category as Mahomes.
He won't be the QB in 34.
No. But Brad Holmes has found a way to bring us a winner. Hasn't won the ultimate prize. I think he will continue to find ways to bring us a winner. And Dan Campbell will find ways to motivate, brand new ways to motivate. And yes, I do think that they win more than one Super Bowl. So no, I think they have a bite at the apple and have a chance to win more than one Super Bowl. So I'm not taking this deal. No deal. Send that suitcase back.
Slams the briefcase shut. All right, you guys have that same question posed to you. 248-539-9797. I can't even believe that you would turn down a Super Bowl. I'm absolutely taking this deal.
Success, of course you are.
Success is fleeting in the NFL. What is of course you are? Of course I'm going to guarantee that the city of Detroit gets a Super Bowl parade. You're damn right. I'm taking the deal.
The guy that'll settle for the minimum.
The minimum is winning a Super Bowl. Yeah, I'm going to settle for a Super Bowl parade down Woodward. And by the way, do I have to wait 10 years? No, I get it right now. That makes
instant
it even better. But even better.
Gen
We've
X.
waited long enough. No, it's not instant gratification.
And I'm
it doesn't matter what generation you are. You want your Super Bowl. You've waited long enough. You get it right now. I offer it to you. And oh no, you don't win two? I mean, what are we even debating at this point? Oh, you don't win two Super Bowls, Lions fans. Would you be bummed if you don't win two Super Bowls? No, I want one. Give me one. That's all anybody's ever asked for.
Settling for one.
Settling.
Jim, you know our favorite bit right now with the Red Wings and the teams get eliminated in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah, the joke's on them. The Red Wings are going to have a long run. I mean, according to John, we can apply that to the Super Bowl winner. Like, well, the joke's on you. You only won one Super Bowl. The Lions have a dynasty coming. It's not short-sighted to say that they're going to win a Super Bowl. Anything less than that, I would agree with you. But to win a Super Bowl,
I understand what it would mean. I trust me, I get it. But for a decade, if you win one and then for the next 9 years, you're just always kind of, and I'm not going to say floundering because you could get to the Super Bowl.
You win some divisions.
Say you played the Chiefs in 27, you come up short and the Chiefs win. The Bills in 28. Like there are a number of AFC teams, maybe it's 32 and 33 and 34 that you're in the Super Bowl, but you lose. No, I want more bites at the apple. I'm not going to settle. I'm sure everybody would probably anticipate that we would be on both sides of this argument.
Sure, I think it's predictable, but fine. Look, it doesn't mean you're never seeing another one either. It's a decade where you only win one.
John, I can't believe you're channeling LeBron James this morning.
Not one.
Not one.
Two.
Not
Shut
two.
Up. Shut
not
up. Don't.
That's your guy.
No.
That's your guy.
I am not channeling LeBron.
Kidding. John.
That didn't feel like it.
John, you got to take the deal.
No. No. Don't tell me what I have to do.
There are 30 for 30s that are going to be made about the 2010 Green Bay Packers. Aaron got one.
Okay, fine.
The Lions don't have an elite quarterback. They got a good one. They don't have a tier one. History suggests you got to have a tier one QB to win a Super Bowl.
At this time.
The Jim Leland Tigers.
There's a lot of cautionary tales. And I understand the risk that if I don't take this deal, I might not win a Super Bowl.
I would even say the Matt Ryan Falcons.
Sure, 28-3.
They had 3-1 seeds during that era. You got to take it. It's hard. It's super, super hard. Mm. You got to take it.
I'm not doing it. You're not going to talk me into it. No, I want the chance to win more than one. Because then why do you play the game after that? If you're saying I only get one, and then for the next 9 years until this little game that we're playing resets, I have no chance to win another Super Bowl. I'm not taking it. I want a chance every single year. And I understand the risk. The risk is I don't have a Super Bowl after this decade. I understand. It's a clear risk.
I believe in this regime. I believe in what they've done, Holmes and Campbell. And I do believe they're capable of winning multiple. But when you just look at history and how it's stacked against you, how hard it is to win a championship in sports. It's like, we don't have Mahomes and Brady.
Correct.
Teams like Buffalo haven't been able to get over the top.
Is Jalen Hurts a tier one quarterback? Is he Mahomes?
I'd rather have him than Goff.
Okay, that's fine. But is he, that doesn't answer the question. Is he Mahomes? Is he Brady?
No.
Okay, so they just won the Super Bowl, right? And then in 26, they get to win another one.
Two different quarterbacks, though. Right? Foles, the one Super Bowl. Hurts, the next
Arguably
Super Bowl.
Arguably a better offensive line. Definitely a better defensive line.
No. Not different quarterbacks. They just won with Jalen Hurts.
No, I'm saying.
In 24. And now you're telling me in 26, AI is saying that they win another Super Bowl?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So that's two within 3 years? And you're telling me that Jalen Hurts is now in the Patrick Mahomes category? I just don't believe it. Is he a better option than Jared Goff? He may be.
I think he is.
But I'm not going to sit there and say he is a guy that should be winning multiple Super Bowls and the Lions can't.
Next 10 years predicted by AI, not an AI debate, but a deal or no deal question. The Lions win one Super Bowl, the next Super Bowl, but they only win one Super Bowl. Deal or no deal, it's 97.1.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. You sent something over today that is awfully interesting.
Oh. I like to be interesting.
Mission accomplished. Two of ESPN's analysts, although I don't know who these guys are.
I just gave you the last name.
I know. Do you know who Bowen is?
I can find out quickly.
All right. The other one's Schatz. ESPN analyst had this to say about the biggest head scratchers in the draft. Whoever Bowen is said wide receiver Isaac Tesla to the Lions at number 70. I can see the traits with Tesla. He's a 6'4" target with seam stretching ability, and he's posted explosive testing numbers. However, he is still a developmental prospect, and it cost the Lions two 2026 third rounders to trade up for him. Schatz says Tesla to the Lions. He basically scored a zero in my playmaking score article featuring wide receiver projections. ESPN Scouts Inc.'s rankings did have Tesla listed, but as the number 17 receiver and number 157 prospect, and yet the Lions dealt two 2026 third-round picks. He's at best a duplicate of Detroit's best receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown.
All right, so two things. First of all, it's Matt Bowen, who's an NFL analyst, and it's Aaron Schatz, who's also the NFL analyst. So what I find interesting is what Schatz had to say. It's the last statement that he made.
Yeah.
I'm like, is that supposed to be insulting? At best, he's a duplicate of Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Whatever.
Yes, please.
Whatever will we do?
Oh, no. Oh, no. They traded two third-round picks to move up so that they could acquire a player who is at best or at worst a duplicate of Amon-Ra St. Brown. Okay.
Yeah.
Signed, every team in the league would do that if that was the case. I mean, you can say that you don't like the pick and give your reasons. Hey, it didn't even show up on our scouts inc thing, whatever, all this. And we did evaluations on him. It was a zero. Whatever you got to say there. But that last statement is just dumb.
Yeah.
At best, he's, you know, one of the best receivers
in
football.
It'd be one thing if they said, at best, he's a poor man's Khalif Raymond. It'd be one thing.
Or, yeah, he's Tim Patrick. You know, say, okay, got it. But yeah,
at best, he's one of the best receivers in the league.
I mean, what is that?
Heaven forbid.
Sure, you're good and all, but you know, what have you really done? I mean, three straight years of 1,000 yards plus, and you know, you've double-digit touchdowns each of the last 2 years.
Well, in the last three drafts, the weird thing about Brad Holmes is, in the last three drafts, he's used the middle rounds to do some of his most head-scratching work.
Mm-hmm. Lots of trading.
Traded up because he couldn't miss out on Broderick Martin in the third round. Took Hendon Hooker in the third round. And now he's traded up to take Isaac Tesla in the third round. Maybe Hooker doesn't belong in the same category because we just don't know, and we may never know what he could be. But he also last year took Giovanni Manu in the fourth round.
And maneuvered to get him.
Yeah, there is... There's this pattern of aggressive mid-round maneuvering, which I don't know. I mean, I don't think he maneuvered to get Kirby Joseph in the third round in one of his early drafts. He did have Aleem McNeil in the third round. I don't know if he maneuvered on that. I have to go back and look. But it's kind of an interesting pattern, isn't it?
It is. I mean, he's always been active on draft days.
Yep.
To move all over the place and make sure he just wants to secure his guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his guys he likes and loves, okay, and he wants to secure them.
So the Aleem McNeil draft was their own pick. In that same third round, they got a Fatu Melifamu. If I recall correctly, that was a pick they got in the Stafford trade. They got Melifamu in the Stafford trade. And I'll have to go back and look at the other maneuvering, but so this, how many experts did they have do their most head scratching move?
They had a bunch of them.
Okay, because there two of them singled out the trading up for Tesla as the most head scratching move.
Yes,
of the not of the Lions, of the entire draft.
Yeah, yeah. So other players who were selected were Emeka Buka was a head scratching move by one of these guys.
Love Emeka Buka.
Jack Betch, the wide receiver, James Pierce, Dylan Gabriel, Tyler Shuck, Kenneth Grant.
Well,
was thought of his head scratching because of the value, taking him at 13, thought it was way too high to take him.
So what I got to give Todd McShay a ton of credit. Todd McShay, when he got to the Lions, he goes, look, man, I question a lot of these picks, but who are you going to believe, Todd McShay or Brad Holmes? Like, he just stepped back and said, I'm giving this guy latitude to do things that I don't understand because he's got a long history of doing it. In the meantime, major publication has got NFL executives talking about the Lions draft off the record. Here we go. These are quotes from The Athletic. These are actual quotes regarding the offensive line from executives from other teams. What did they think? The offensive line. The Lions draft. They talked a lot about the Lions. There's quotes about the Lions draft executives from another team. Quote, keep building on the Lions, which is what they do there. They play to their strengths, and let's call it what it is. The Philly mindset, not a bad strategy. And then they got three players from Georgia, one from Ohio State, one from LSU. Big schools. Another exec said of the Lions draft, they pretty much took a run defending nose tackle in the first round, but they are very firm on their style of ball, and it's paid off. So they get the benefit of the doubt. And a third exec, and you're going to like this one, they are confidently aggressive. Maybe that is their coach just saying, we are going to kick ass and take names forever. That is another executive talking about the Lions draft. So they didn't have a problem with Tesla as much as Schatz on ESPN.
Schatz and Fowler, whoever else it was. Yeah.
Bowen? Was it Bowen?
Bowen, yeah.
So I mean, yeah, kind of what we knew, kind of what we suspected. Build from the trenches. They haven't always built from the trenches. This was a draft that was pretty trench heavy. But like last year, DB, O-line, safety, D-tackle, O-line. Eh, they took three last year, but they were later picks. This year, they were earlier picks. Three of the first four were in the trenches. The year before that, running back, linebacker, tight end, defensive back, quarterback, D-tackle, O-line, wide receiver. So more high resources into the trenches.
I think when you get in that third round, that's when the third round and beyond seems to be the wheelhouse to start going after it. Unless you see a difference maker in the first round, that's where you're going to go. I mean, they took Hutchinson.
Mm-hmm.
They just took Tyleik Williams. So those are the only two guys they've taken in the first round, and Penei Sewell. So that's three guys they've taken in the first round in the trenches, so to speak.
There is a falling in love factor with Brad Holmes. I think he falls in love with sleepers and doesn't want to let them get away. And if you look at his draft patterns, that's Tesla, that is Manu, that is Broderick Martin. Those are guys that he just refused. He was not going to, he didn't want to let him get away.
No, he did not at all.
And he's kind of earned the right to do it. But none of these guys have paid dividends yet.
No, not yet. And the interesting one is the new one with Tyleik Williams, that there was the trade offer. The Philadelphia wanted to move up, and the Lions just said no. They wanted to get their guy. Mm-hmm. And somewhere between the Lions and where Philadelphia was picking at 32, one of those other teams was, they were very interested in taking Tyleik Williams, and Tyleik Williams thought he was going to go to that team. That's why he did what he did. He's got his guy. I'm not going to let it go. If I trade back to 32, good chance I'm not going to have him.
Right.
Sure, I might be able to take an edge rusher or some other position or whatever, but this is the guy that I want. And I respect the hell out of him with that. He's got his conviction, right? It's no one's going to tell him who he needs to take. He's going to take who he thinks he should take.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll get the glory with that, and he'll get the blame with that in some cases. Like if Broderick Martin doesn't work out, that's one, you know, and Levi Onwuzurike hasn't really worked out, yet they gave him a second contract, which I'm kind of surprised by.
Yeah, that was really, that was curious. But as, you know, when we get real, we get calls from Brad Holmes critics, and what about this, what about that? Yeah, he misses on some, without question. He's not going to, they're not all gems.
No, they're not all going to be gems, but it's given a second contract is different.
Yeah, that's a commitment. Like,
that's, you're taking a chance on. He's taking a chance on Onwuzurike. He's taking a chance on Derek Barnes. These are guys that, yep, we expect them to be a big part of our future, and the future is now.
Well, we'll see what happens. The speculation that we had earlier today, it feels like watching the feedback come in. If they re-sign Za'Darius Smith, and there's no shortage of speculation that that's going to happen. It's almost gotten to the point where so many people are predicting it in the blogosphere that I don't think it's going to happen. it's after a while you're like, okay, is it an echo chamber of the same people reading the same stuff and saying they expect it to happen, or is there really legs to this? But each day that passes, he doesn't sign with somebody else, there's a percentage tick up just a little bit that Za'Darius Smith is coming back to Detroit. And I would argue yes. And you know, it's weird because we did the song and dance. You remember people wanting Ndamukong Suh to come back to the Lions? And there was, oh, sign him in the offseason. It didn't happen. Well, he's just waiting for training camp for something to open up. And it never happened.
Right.
And he never came back. I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen with Za'Darius Smith. I mean, the guy did have 9 sacks last year on 2 different teams. One of them that he parachuted in and didn't have Aiden Hutchinson on the other side. I still think there's a spot for him in the National Football League. But if he's picky about playing for a contender, A, or just doesn't get the money he wants, B, coming back to Detroit, definitely on the table. And it definitely would satiate. Can we use that word?
Satiate sounds good.
Satiate people who are not pleased with the offseason work at the edge rusher. So we shall see. Raining in Colorado, expected to rain tonight. We'll see if that leads to a full-fledged rain out. It could mean a doubleheader tomorrow between the Tigers and the worst team in baseball, the Colorado Rockies. Rico is celebrating that as he makes his way in studio. Could lead to a short day for you guys tomorrow, but we'll see. Maybe they'll play tonight. What's up, my man? How are you?
You guys. You two?
Yeah.
Funny.
Was it?
You two were funny.
What are we talking about?
Driving around in and out of your show.
What cracked you up?
I don't even know how you got on the Denver topic. But Gator just stopping everybody and saying, hey, whatever you do, don't Google it.
Lucifer's junk. Don't do that.
And you never been Denver?
No.
What do you think of Denver?
When we landed, I like woke up and was like, oh, you think Denver? You think mountains, Rocky Mountains?
Yeah, yeah.
It is the flattest place ever.
It's where the airport is.
We were like, we're in Denver. It's like, it's a mile high, but it's flat. Mile high, just elevated. No mountains, no nothing.
And
it's totally deceiving of what your picture is of Denver.
It's crazy. So the airport is east of the city, and the mountains are west of the city. And so when you land on the east side, you're just in the middle of the plains.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I've taken a train. I've taken the Amtrak
into
Denver.
So it sucks.
It's the only airport like I had a problem going through, because this is when they had the new technology where you stood there and they blew air at you. And the guy was like, well, this can't be right. I was like, what's wrong? He's like, according to this, you have 85 things that just set off the alarm.
Oh, you mean the security?
Yeah. I was just like, no. So yeah, I'm with Woody Woodruff. He is dying laughing, taking video of this.
Because you were...
I'm like, what, seriously?
You're the problem?
Yeah.
You're the problem.
He wanted to get to the airport early, and I said, you don't have to get to the airport early. He's like, oh, guess who needed to get to the airport early?
I can see what he's saying. All right, what do you guys got planned coming up next?
A little bit about the Wings and the lack of draft luck, but what else is new? And talk a little bit about Vegas odds for the Lions, the over-under at 10.5.
Have a great show. Thank you for listening, everyone. Stay safe and treat each other with respect. 97.1 The Ticket.
All right, Rico busy holding court in the bullpen, so he'll get to us eventually. Let's get to what we really were supposed to talk about in the 3 o'clock. Not Detroit being screwed in the awards. Vegas has released win totals for all the NFL teams. And a couple days ago, I heard Cookies talking about this, and I thought it was something we should address too. Because I think people's reaction shows they've normalized something that is once in a generation. And what I mean is, going 15-2 is not normal. It doesn't happen every year for any team, and it certainly doesn't happen in the league. It is something that, if you are truly a great organization, happens once every 20 years. And that's if you're any good. The Lions 15-2 is just that. It's a moment in time. Put a bow on it, frame it, laminate it, wear it around your neck. So when Vegas came out with the win total, you know, Costa and John and, you know, Tom, they were all like aghast. Oh my God, this is the height of disrespect. So let's have a conversation about this. The Lions win total in Vegas is set at 10.5. Juiced to the under. On surface, you go, how dare they? Are we really going to be 5 games worse? Yeah, it's quite possible. I mean, if we really look at this, for one, you'll yell about injuries, and I will agree with some of it. I'll tell you the way your schedule actually played out. Not the paper version in August. The way it actually played out, your schedule was cake. It was a cupcake. The whole thing was like a lot of Michigan's non-conference years. Cupcake City. And you did your job. Well, the Vikings, bruh. I told you the Vikings were frauds all year long. Fake. You played Jordan Love on one leg. You played a Niners team that quit. You played a Dallas team that was vomit. You got waxed by the Bills. You don't get credit there. So the whole point I'm making is, when you step away from 15-2, the actual high win total in the league might be 11 or 12. It starts to look more normal. So let's look at this, Rico. They lose both coordinators. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a very active offseason.
Check.
And they are going to play, I want to be fair, they are going to play roughly half of this season without one of the five best defensive tackles in football, Nalim McNeil. Mm-hmm. He will not be back anytime soon.
Correct.
Factor all of those things in.
I'll add, Mike. I'm sorry, but I will add. I don't think that you're going to get that same Aiden Hutchinson that started the year last year at the beginning of the year this year. I think it's going to take him some time to get back up to speed.
If I could sign a piece of paper for 10, 11 wins, I'd do it right now. There is no guarantee you're going to be awesome. There's no guarantee, because I'll tell you this. We won't find out the actuality of the schedule until live fire happens, but the paper version of your schedule, look out.
Yeah.
And I think the 10.5 is appropriate. Now, maybe you win 11. Maybe you don't. But the idea that it should be 12.5 or 13.5, I think you're swimming in Willy Wonka's chocolate river in the factory. You're out of your mind. But I wanted to hear from fans. Are you being disrespected? Or do you believe this is simply a very natural and normal regression to the mean? That the historical season cannot somehow pervert reality? Yes, Kenny.
Well, I was going to say, to consider it being ridiculous to say that they're going to be five games less than, I don't know, near perfect that they were last year in terms of record. I don't think that's crazy at all. And you combine the fact that you lose your coordinators, you combine that with the fact that per, it looks like Sharp Football Metrics, they have the third hardest schedule in the league.
On paper.
On paper, yeah, right. Which could mean nothing by the time the ball's actually kicked off, and that's fine. But all those things combined, yeah, I don't think you're crazy to say there could be a little regression here.
Well, and look, fellas, if I said right now I'd take 11-6 and sign a piece of paper, I'll be vilified by Lions fans, but I'll tell you what 11-6 guarantees me, playoffs.
Yeah.
I'd sign it today.
You absolutely want to do that, Mike, because the reason why I think that they're sitting there at 10.5 and you say it's used to the under, it's, as you stated, last year you really didn't play any good teams. And when you did, it didn't go so well. This year, tell me what these teams have in common. Baltimore, Chicago, Cincinnati, Green Bay, Kansas City, Los Angeles Rams, Philly, Washington, and Minnesota. Those are all your road games. That's why last year, do you know how many road games they actually played out in the elements? Let me help you. Two. You played the Bears.
Oh.
And you played Green Bay. The Bears, by the time you played them, they had already quit. They had fired their coach, and they were just trying to go for a draft pick. Green Bay, Kirby Joseph wins the game. It was a rainy day. Now you're going to be playing, of those, seven of those games will be played out in the elements. So once the real schedule comes out, you may be playing Baltimore in the middle of December.
Yeah.
That's Jared Goff's kryptonite, is outdoor weather in the cold.
Are you being disrespected, or is this really kind of the reality check many of your fellow fans need? That, look, 10.5 is a really ambitious win total. Winning 10, 11 games in this league is not easy. And I don't think the Lions are going to be bad, but I won't be surprised in the least if they're five games worse or four games worse, because automatically 15 was never real. It's just not.
And Lions fans, if it makes you feel any better, there's only four teams that have a higher win total than you. So it's not like you're being totally disrespectful.
Well, what Lion fan will tell you is, how come we're not viewed like those teams? So?
Philly, Baltimore,
okay.
Buffalo, Kansas City. All four at 11.5.
Say it one more time for the people in the back. Philly,
Baltimore, mm-hmm. Buffalo,
yep.
Kansas City.
Yeah, two words. Superstar quarterbacks. And I like Jared Goff more than most. He is not those guys. And I think the separator and why you're viewed different is you're the best team who doesn't have a superstar QB.
Mm-hmm.
That's reality. You're better than San Francisco. They've got a guy who drives a combine.
Well, actually, according to Vegas, you're not.
What's San Francisco?
10.5.
Under all the way. David, entire general fund,
under Niners 10.5.
You know what? I'll take that bet.
248-539-9797. Go, Kenny or David, go ahead here. Because I don't feel like it's disrespect. I feel like it's a reality check this city needs.
I'll speak on behalf of Lions fans. Actually, I'll speak on behalf of myself because I think Lions fans will crucify me for saying this. Correct. Also, I would right here, right now, sign that piece of paper. Give me the 11 wins. Sign me up for another playoff.
All right. Would you sign 10-7?
Yes. Probably still would. Yeah.
Yeah, I would. And next week, we can really solidify this when the actual schedule comes out. But yeah, last year, your schedule was the perfect schedule. As I stated, every game was played inside or out in some warm weather stadium, except for two. This year, you're out in the elements on the road against top teams. And oh, by the way, of the teams that I named off, you're playing three of those four teams that are 11.5 wins. So your competition, at least right now on paper, is a lot better than it was last season.
Good talk, guys. Good talk.
I tried.
What's your favorite Michigan delicacy? 248.
Met Gala.
Yeah. What outfit wowed you last night? David Ticket Text. I'll get to callers. Oh, wait.
Healthy 11 wins is the floor. That's what someone says.
I'm sorry. I got to laugh at some of this stuff. 11 is the floor?
Well,
this isn't 1985 and there's no cap and limited free agency rights.
Here's where a lot of Lions fans, and Kenny, stop me if I'm out of pocket here. They were 15-2 and they had a decimated defense. Defense will be back. Hutch will be back. So why would you fall off to 10 or 11 wins when you were able to achieve 15 with no defense last?
Loss of both coordinators. You're down arguably your best defensive player because Aleem is a top five defensive tackle. And I'm sorry, but I think when you start to really look at it, this schedule is going to be a lot different. And when you lose coordinators on both sides of the ball, I think there's a natural regression that takes place to how you run your operation. Yeah. You don't believe me? Go look at the Eagles from 2 years ago when they lost both coordinators and they were trash.
Bro, you're on fire. But you're right. And I don't think you're going to run through your division and go undefeated this year.
No, Bears got better. Vikings, here's the thing. I don't know anything about J.J. McCarthy. But all I can tell you is the Vikings, with a rookie-scale contract, went out and improved on both sides of the ball. John Jansen, who's as big of a Lions boner as there is, John has even said, look out for their O-line. So the idea that Minnesota won't fall off, Bears are better.
And I know a lot of people say Jordan Love, well, he's garbage. I do remember he got injured in that horrible, horrific turf in Brazil and was never the same all year long.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think it's going to be kind of a bleeper get off the pot a year for him.
Yes.
But I think he has ability to be a top five quarterback. So when I look at the division, I'm with you. When I look at the schedule, I'm with you. Both coordinators down one of my four overall best players for half the season. That's before a single injury. Sign me up for 10-11 wins. I'd take it.
As far as the offensive coordinator, I don't know how long it's going to take for time to kick in. Remember last year, they started off slow. I don't know how quickly they'll be able to jumpstart this offense with John Morton.
And maybe I'm giving Ben Johnson too much credit.
But even with Ben Johnson here, remember the first couple of games, they didn't look like the same team. And we were told, be patient, it's coming.
248-539-9797. We get to your phone calls. Next, 97.1.
All right, so we're talking about first day on the job, amongst other things, because today's the first day of rookie mini camp. We got some feedback coming in on the rookies and which one you now understand a little bit more than you did when the draft pick was made. Like, you're warming up to it as they'll make their debut out there. They got the 7 draft picks, the 10 undrafted free agents, and then like 19 walk-ons, tryout guys that help them round out. And basically, these guys are brought into practice. And, you know, it's their one chance, so you don't say no to that. You never know what may happen. 248-539-9797. Jimmy in Birmingham, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Jimmy.
How you doing?
Good, Jimmy.
My first day on the job, that indicated was the U.S. Marine Corps, and the transition from civilian life to military life is immediate and brutal. That's the best way I can put it.
I bet.
Yeah. Well, give me an example. So what happened?
Drill instructors yelling in your face. Basically, the first shower you get, your hair cut, all your hair is gone. And the constant yelling and the constant moving from point A to point B with direction and purpose.
So there's no slow orientation, huh?
No, it's quick and immediate.
Yeah. How much of a shock to the system was that?
The first one time I felt water on my scalp in my life.
I can see how that would be a shock to the system.
Yeah, you can't exactly say, I'll be there in a minute.
No. You were there when they said it would be there and right now.
Yeah, I get it. What do you remember about the first day on the job? Today is the first day on the job for a bunch of Lions rookies. All right, feedback coming in. Which draft picks do you totally get now that you've done a little research and taken it in? Dan in New Haven says, I saw Tesla highlights, and that dude is an alien. Interesting description. Dan Jackson, the safety from Georgia, was a pick I questioned, not because of the player, but safety. Was that a need? I thought they would have addressed it sooner in the draft. Sooner as the draft went on and they didn't draft the safety until later, I thought maybe they could have added a running back, so I questioned the pick. But now I actually love it. I think he's going to make a big impact this season. That's from Marlon in Walled Lake.
Special teams.
He's probably a special teams guy, but he is a – his highlight tape of his hits – like, these are standard, regular beheadings.
Yes, but he's also prone to missing the tackle.
There's a reason he went when he went where he went in the draft.
Exactly. But they love his attitude. Another guy who would play with his hair on fire, so to speak, runs downhill the whole time.
Yep.
That screams to a special teams performer.
Hassanine, totally get it. He's a Holmes Campbell hustle kind of guy. Hardworking, athletic guy that they can use in some capacity. That's from Bruno in Dearborn. 248-539-9797. We got a bunch of feedback fun we want to get to. Brad in Dearborn Heights says this of Javi Baez. We all gave up on Javi, and we all need to give him all the credit. He's a tremendous teammate, and he's proving to be a tremendous athlete and asset to an extremely good team that's just been a blast to watch. Yeah, tonight can be interesting. He could get a standing ovation the way he's playing. And what he's come from, like, it's his own doing, right? I mean, it's not like, I don't want to say what he's been through because, you know, he's responsible for his own performance.
Yeah.
Last year during the playoff, Javi was there with his teammates on the bench enjoying the ride. If he was a bad apple, AJ would have got rid of him.
100%.
It was the one call that came earlier that said they thought it was work ethic.
I think it's a great opportunity for the fans to show appreciation to Javi.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to Javi perhaps tipping his helmet in return to the fans.
Let me be clear, too. It was a caller called up, said, I think he just got his work ethic back. And we're like, well, we were a little hesitant to say, maybe tap the brakes. The guy implies he wasn't working hard, and I don't know I've never heard that accusation, on or off the record. We hear stuff, not always for on-air consumption. It might lead to some reading between the lines on the listener's part, but
that's something we never heard.
Mark in Redford, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Mark.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, what's
nice
up?
Nice to talk to you.
Thank you for calling.
So it wasn't my first job ever, but I was working for a temp agency, so I was getting placed, and one of the jobs I was at, I was having lunch the first day talking to this girl, and a guy walks in, and we're chatting, and the guy goes, oh, I'm the vice president's son. And I was like, oh, that must be cool. So even if you were, like, totally useless, you wouldn't get fired. And the room got quiet, like real quiet. And they called me a few hours later and were like, your services are no longer needed. Turns out I stepped right in it on day one.
Wow.
Oh boy.
Yep. First and last day.
First day you made a joke about nepotism and got canned. Uh-huh.
So it turns out he had like run his car into the moving arm of the garage a couple of times. Like, not only was he bad at work, he was bad at everything else. I could not have nailed it any harder, and boy, did I pick my moment.
And it cost you the job. That's funny, Mark. Yep. First day on the job for the Lions rookie minicamp. Don and Frazier, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Don.
How you doing?
Hey.
Yeah, first day on the job as a new office manager. Things were going well throughout the day. In the afternoon, I went into the John to do my business, and I'm zipping back up, and my zipper broke. So I said, what the heck am I going to do now? Went back out, and thankfully, one of the ladies that I had gotten close to already during the day, I asked her if she might have a safety pin, and she did, and I was able to cover it up. But wow. worst thing that could have happened.
That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad, Don. Yeah.
All right.
Maybe not the way you want to debut.
But probably not. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don, thank
and
you.
It turned out everything was. It kind of broke the ice.
I would hope so. Turn it into a positive. Wendell and Inkster, what's up, Wendell?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, right, Wendell.
Yeah. My first day, actually, I just graduated from college, and I came back to the Detroit area. Got a management training job, which I couldn't stand. So what it was, like I said, it was a recession. It was kind of tough to find another one. So I still had the kind of recruiter I saw in high school. He said, oh, yeah, we can line something up for you. About a few weeks later, I got a call. They said, yeah, we can ship you off to Texas for training. So I agreed, you know, may as well give it a shot. So I got there. They said, oh, yeah, how you doing, you know? We read all your information. You really look at good potential. So we'll start the program tomorrow. I said, and they said, you want anything extra to eat? No, real polite. 5 a.m. the next morning. They busted the room and started yelling because we were in the flight. And they just said, get up. And then it was just the military, after being used to being in college and in the dorm and all this stuff.
It's night and day.
So sergeants and drill sergeants and all that. So anyway, I got through it. The people around me, they was freaking out. This one guy woke up in the middle of the night. He would just salute the mirror. He was sound asleep. And anyway, it got so bad. So I went through it, and then went through technical school, completed that. And then they said, well, you're the last one we have an assignment for. They said, we don't really know where you're going. And then they went to the commander, and they said, well, if you don't want this position, you can turn down the first one, but you've got to take the second one. He said, you sure? I said, yeah. It was Hawaii, Honolulu. 2 years.
Beautiful. That worked out well for you. 248-539-9797. One more on this. Rod in West Bloomfield. Hi, Rod. First day on the job. What do you remember?
Well, first day on the job at Detroit City Airport, Air Traffic Control Tower. We're sitting down in orientation with the tower chief, and guy comes down from the tower. He says, hey, chief, I think we just had a mid-air collision.
Oh,
and he says, what do you mean? He says, I was talking to this aircraft over Windsor. Windsor was in our airspace, an aircraft over Windsor, and Metro was talking to another airplane, and they were supposed to hand it off to us. They never got to us. Sure enough, they collided, and that was back in 1979, I believe.
That was your first day?
Your first day.
It was my first day at Detroit City Airport, but I had been in air traffic control in the military before and whatever. But anyhow, it was kind of interesting, to say the least.
That's wow. That's terrible. You had nothing to do with it. It wasn't your fault, right?
No, as a matter of fact, if there was any blame, it was blamed on, you know, always blaming on somebody, but they blamed on the pilots first, but it was blamed on the Metro Detroit guy who... When we said we couldn't find him, he said, "Well, you know, he was over the river. If he's not in the airport, he's in the river." Well, he was close. They ended up on the street. But
wow, Ron, how long were you an air traffic controller for?
6 years.
6 years. Why did you get out of it? Was it so much pressure, or did you just find something else you had more passion for?
Well, first of all, I loved it, but I'll tell you a little bit of history. The President of the United States fired 12,000 of us back in 1981, and I was one of them.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's... I might be hiring again soon. I hope they are. 248-539-9797. Interesting stuff. Lions first day on the job for a bunch of these rookies. We'll continue with some Lions talk. We got the Mother's Day question we'll get to. Lots to talk about with our Tigers. Man, it's no longer are they good. The question is, how good are they? We'll get into that next hour. Plus, we'll reset the instant feedback fun. I got a taste test for you guys. It is my favorite chip. You can scoff all you want. We'll see if I have a crossover food here.
A little nervous.
You probably should be, given my history. We'll get to that in the noon hour here on 97.1 The Ticket. A NFL writer came out with their wish list for the schedule. The schedule release will dominate the news cycle next week. There's something fascinating about this to me. The schedule release will be televised. And as they say in the business, it'll get a number.
Yeah.
Meaning people will watch. It's considered a big item in the news cycle of sports. In fact, I mean, next week, maybe not here in Detroit, but across the board, it might be the biggest single thing that will happen in sports. Probably that or the PGA Championship. Headlining next week's sports, NFL schedule release. But here's why I'm fascinated. We already know who everyone is playing.
This is true.
Which you would think would be the most enticing thing about the schedule release. At Christmas, when we open up gifts, the schedule release, the Christmas comparison is, you know what's in every box. The schedule release is announcing what order you will open the boxes in. I know what all my gifts right. are.
You just don't know which box it's in.
I just don't know which box I'm going to open first. So
funny you say Christmas with three games on Christmas this year.
The box with the PlayStation wrapped up. I know there's a PlayStation in there. I just find out if I get to open this
hopefully it's
at the beginning in September. Or the end.
I want to play with it now.
So the schedule release, you would think that the opponents would be the draw, but this is literally, no, we already know the opponents. We're just telling you what order you're going to play them in. But a writer for Fox Sports named David Hellman put together his schedule release wish list. These are the games that he wants. Do you think the Lions get some mention here?
Yeah.
We'll start at the top. NFL kickoff game. Lions at Eagles is the game he wants. We have talked about this for a long time. The Eagles, typically the Super Bowl champion, host the playoff or the opening game. The Lions are on the schedule, and they're the biggest TV draw in the league during the regular season last year. We have mentioned Lions-Eagles as the opener, which will be a Thursday or a Wednesday night the first week. That's what he wants. He wants Lions at Eagles. So, something to look out for. Fox opener, he thinks it'll be Washington versus Dallas. Monday night opener, he's going for Vikings at Seattle. Thanksgiving game. Here's who he predicts for the Thanksgiving game. Bears at Lions. He writes, this feels inevitable. It was a bonkers sequence on Thanksgiving in Detroit that cost Matt Eberflus his job last season that led to Ben Johnson becoming the Bears' new head coach. Of course, Johnson's return to Ford Field, where he was the Lions' OC for 3 years, would come on Thanksgiving Day. If I'm setting the matchups, I want these holiday games to have as much intrigue as possible, and this would certainly qualify. Ben Johnson's return? Packers and Cowboys, Ravens, Bengals are his other games. His Black Friday game, he wants Patriots and Titans. But the Lions, he wants Lions in the opener, Lions-Bears on Thanksgiving.
That Thanksgiving schedule is pretty good.
Packers, Cowboys
and Ravens and Bengals?
Yep. This is, again, a wish list.
Yeah, it's just a
wish list. But it's interesting nonetheless. And I'm hanging on to it. We called that early. Lions-Eagles, Thursday night affair to open up the season. Lions already got the Hall of Fame game. So they'll get to play an extra meaningless preseason game, right. Which means the starters will sit out another preseason game.
This means more opportunities for Hendon Hooker.
That's exactly what it means. And wouldn't be a stunner to see him on opening night in the league. In the meantime, rookie mini camp starts today. We got a question for you, okay? Because this is the day, so you got your 7 draft picks, your 10 undrafted free agents, and then you've got, Kang, was it 17 tryout players?
I think it was 19, actually.
19, okay. And you want to have enough that you can field an offense and a defense. You want to have enough that you can run special teams drills. You want to have enough that, even though these are unpadded, so it's hard to get a sense for how good or bad people or players might be, rookie mini camp starts now. Since the rookies are taking the field, here's a question we have for you. Since the draft, which draft pick did you start to say, okay, I get it now? Like when they drafted him, you were like, wait, what? Why? And now that we're here, which rookie falls into the category of the top of the list of, okay, I get it now? 248-539-9797. Got a question about rookie minicamp that we'll get to as well. But which rookie, as you did your research, you started to understand a little bit, you're now on board with the pick? We'll get to some of your answers coming up. Also, Tigers discussion. Tigers discussion is hot today. It's fun. They come home after a very successful road trip. Do you remember how that road trip started? Do you remember the first game?
Was that in Houston?
Yeah, it looked like it was going to be a tough trip for Trey Sweeney.
Oh, yeah, he had like 2 errors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it a tough trip for Trey Sweeney?
Ended up being a fantastic trip for Trey Sweeney.
It's Carson Anderson, 97.1, The Ticket.